Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from one of the pastors here at the Rock.
Let me hear if you remember. We've been doing a series studying what? Just say it out loud. Holy Spirit. Oh, you're on it. You already know. So today is part five. You know what? Before I dive into this, let me just let you know who I am. My name is Tracy Ogando, and my husband Paul and I are pastors of our Spanish service, which is Sundays at 1:30, and we've been here 14 years on staff. So praise God. It's been an amazing run, and I've been leading worship since day one. I was 9 months pregnant, and I said, honey, I don't think I can do our kickoff service. I'm just too pregnant. I'm too big. And he said, you have to. Please, please, honey, you can't leave me on this first Sunday. It was our very first Sunday. So here I am, huge, singing, leading worship, and sure enough, I went into labor right after service, and our son was born the next day. So if we ever forget how old our Spanish ministry is, I just remember how old Gabriel is, and we know. Praise God, it's been such a blessing. Well, I get to teach on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And at the end, we're going to have an opportunity to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Who here has never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit before? Just raise your hand. No shame. It's okay. And then online, all right? It's okay. Online, I'm sure there's plenty of you too. And for those of you who have been filled with the Holy Spirit before, how awesome to be refilled again. Isn't that right? So at the end, we're going to just be refilled. And they were filled for the first time in Acts chapter 2, and then they were filled again in Acts chapter 4, and again, I think, in Acts chapter 10. And so we can be filled with the Holy Spirit over and over and over, and it's just wonderful. And of course, we keep that flow going every single day, and we keep it going with speaking in tongues. We're going to be talking about that, and I'm just so excited to get to the baptism of the Holy Spirit at the end. But we need to do a little bit of teaching, and I kind of feel like if you've ever been to a fancy restaurant, you know, the waiter comes and he starts to describe what's on the menu. Is some fish with a sauce with, you know, these spices. And you're like, wow, your mouth is watering. You're like, just bring me the food. I'm so hungry, you know. And so I hope that right now, as we look in God's word, that God begins to stir within us hunger. Amen. Appetite. Appetite for an infilling of his Holy Spirit. How many are up for that? Lord, I want more of you. Amen. And online too, you can put in the chat, I'm ready for more. I want more. So God wants to stir up hunger. You know, he does not give something precious and wonderful to someone who's like, nah. Have you ever done that? Have you ever gone to a really good restaurant or been where they were serving some really good food and you were already stuffed? Isn't that the worst? So God is saying, I want to give you the good stuff, but let's get really hungry first. Amen, ladies? Amen. Let's review. Part 1 and 2 of our series was called Holy Spirit Help. And this just shows us he is our helper. You know, this world is broken. Things have not been set right yet. So the Holy Spirit is here to help. Part 3 was Holy Spirit, the divine person. He has a mind, will, and emotions. He's not an it. He's not a force. He's a person. Part 4, which was last week, Pastor Teresa, how many heard that last week? Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. It was like, ugh. It was like knives, one after the other. And she just kept talking. It was like, oh, Lord Jesus, stop the conviction. But it felt so good at the same time. Like, yes, Lord, change me. You know, let us be sensitive to your Holy Spirit. Amen. Do you want to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit? Just follow what he's leading us to do. Amen. And I'm going to encourage the ladies in the chat. You just keep putting things in there. Yes, Lord, make me sensitive to you. Encourage your other sisters who are watching online. This week, like I already said, we're going to be talking about the actual baptism of the Holy Spirit. And at the end, we're going to just receive afresh. Amen. Or for the first time, possibly. But let's talk about how the Holy Spirit was initially poured out at the very beginning, when it happened, and what it means for us today. Amen? So Jesus began to talk to his disciples about the Holy Spirit, and just like I mentioned, he was stirring hunger. He wanted them to be curious about the Holy Spirit and to want the Holy Spirit. Again, God's not going to just plop something on someone who isn't really wanting it. So he began to tell them over and over. He said, listen, guys, it's better if I go away, because the Holy Spirit's going to be actually better than me for you. So let's look at Acts chapter 1, 4 through 5. The Holy Spirit, another name for him, is the promise of the Father. Let's read this together. Acts chapter 1, 4 through 5. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. He'd been telling him about this. Verse 5, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And Pastor Sue has been faithful to tell us, hey, when you get saved and when you have that experience where you receive Jesus into your heart and you give your life to the Lord, the Holy Spirit comes in and dwells in you. The baptism is a little different. You are so full of the Holy Spirit, you're actually overflowing. How many already understand that? We've taught that many times. And for some, that might be new, and that's okay too. Acts, so a little further in Acts chapter 1. You got your Bibles, everyone? I know we have it on the screen, but it's so good to pull out your word. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you shall receive, all together, let's say it, power. Let's say it again. Ready? Power. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And I think Southern California is probably about as far from Jerusalem as you can get, so it has reached us. Amen. That word power is dunamis in the Greek. In the original language, it's the word dunamis, and it means explosions of almightiness. And it's where we get our word dynamite, explosive power. So when we get filled with the Holy Spirit, we're getting filled with power, ladies. And over these next few weeks, we're going to be talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which are manifestations of that power of God. And he said, you're going to be witnesses of me. We got to show the world what God is like. I can guarantee if you go and you have a miracle of healing for someone, they're going to know that God sees their situation, cares about them, and is powerful enough to heal them. Amen? Amen, ladies? Yes. Praise God. So let's look at the timing. This is so fascinating. When God chose to pour out the Holy Spirit, he did things based on the Jewish calendar. Did you know that? There are three main feasts in the Jewish calendar where everyone would travel to Jerusalem. It was like a vacation. They would visit relatives. Just think of Thanksgiving. You know, you travel, you eat, you sing. You know, mixed together with Christmas and Easter, it was just the most joyous time. So they would do that three times a year. The first was Passover. The second was Feast of Pentecost. And the third was Feast of Tabernacles. So we'll go into that. You can study that on your own. Ladies, did you know you can do Bible studies on your own? So if I toss something out there, you're like, what? I'm curious about that. You can Google it. You can look on Bible Hub, Bible Gateway, and study these things for yourself. It's fascinating. Let's talk about the feasts for just a minute. The Passover feast, the original Passover, we remember they were still in Egypt. A lamb was slaughtered. They put the lamb's blood on their house, and the angel of death passed over them and killed the firstborn of the Egyptians. Remember that story? So that's why it is called Passover. From then on, for 1,400 years, every single year, every family would sacrifice a lamb to cover their sins. What happened on the Passover when Jesus was alive? The perfect Lamb of God, who was man and who was God at the same time, died for humanity once and for all. It was the Passover of Passovers. It was just like the first one, but kicked up a notch. Do we all see that? Let's look at the Feast of Pentecost. Pentecost just means 50, so it's the Feast of 50, and because it's named that because it was 50 days after Passover. So Passover happens 50 days later. Feast of Pentecost, the original one, 50 days after Passover, they have already left Egypt. They were slaves. They left Egypt, and they are now at Mount Sinai. Moses is going up this holy mountain. It's trembling and shaking with thunderings from the power of God, and he is receiving the Ten Commandments. That is the original Feast of Pentecost. That's the original one. Let's look at the one around the time of Jesus. 1,400 years later, there is a second Feast of Pentecost that is similar to the first one, but kicked up a notch. It's on steroids. And it is when everybody who is following Jesus, and we estimate about 120 people, receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit at that moment. We're going to read exactly what happened then. So you say, okay, Moses receives the law, and over here, God's people receive the Holy Spirit. I don't see the connection. Let me explain the connection. God was wanting to find a people that could express on earth what he was like. He wanted all the nations of the world to know what kind of a God he was, a God of compassion who sticks up for the poor, who sticks up for the lonely, the orphan, the widow, the stranger. He's the God of justice. He sees things very fairly. Is that not right? So when he got the Ten Commandments, God said, you obey these commandments, and the world is going to see what a beautiful culture and society you have, the order you have, the justice and the fairness you have. They're going to see the compassion that you have in your society. The Lord, in the Ten Commandments and in other commandments, elevated the role of women. Did you know that from the other cultures around them? So God was saying, guys, live out my laws, and the other nations will see how blessed you are. You don't work 24/7. You take a day of rest, things like that. Does that make sense? God wanted people to see what he was like, and he told them, you are going to draw all nations to me through you, through your example. And that's what the law was about. Now let's think about everybody receiving, and when I say everybody, again, it was a fairly small crowd, receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Ladies, it was just like that original feast, that original day on Mount Sinai. God saying, I need the world to see what kind of a God I am through you. But this time it's not just going to be because of your morality code, because of the law. It's not just going to be your behavior. It will be that. But it's going to be so much more. It's going to be how amazing you behave and the fairness you have and the compassion you have. But it will also be the power flowing through you. And that is how the Feast of Pentecost was taken up a whole nother notch. Amen? Isn't that beautiful? There was the original in the time of Moses. 1,400 years later, both of those feasts were fulfilled in the most amazing way once and for all. And they were like the original, but double, triple, like I said, absolutely on steroids. So let's remember that as we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, God is saying, be salt, be light. The world needs to know what kind of a God I am. And the Holy Spirit flowing through you is going to show the nations what kind of a God we serve. Amen. Does that make sense to everyone? Beautiful, right? God is so good. The third feast, I just want to add this, is the Feast of Tabernacles. It was originally celebrated early on, commemorating their wanderings through the desert. And do you know what, ladies? It has not been fulfilled in that secondary way. We are still waiting for something. And I believe that the Lord, and from his track record, he causes things to happen on the actual day of that Jewish feast. So something is going to happen on Feast of Tabernacles, I believe. That's just a little aside. Let's get back to the Holy Spirit. What happened on the day of Pentecost? Let's look and see. This is an amazing moment in history. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all in one accord, in one place. I just have to stop there and share about 2020, ladies. Do you remember what we were doing during Easter of 2020? That's Passover. We were shut up in our homes, and there was a plague outside of our doors. Does this sound familiar? This is like the original Passover. the first time in history where we celebrated it very similar to the first one. And we were claiming the blood of Jesus over our homes. It was a Passover very similar to the first one. So when Sunday, Pentecost Sunday came, a lot of Christians were saying, something new is happening. Something new. If God allowed us to celebrate Passover like they did in the Word, what is going to happen at Pentecost? And I don't know if you remember, but many churches, ours included, on Pentecost, we gathered. Do you see what it says in the Word of God? Acts chapter 2, verse 1. They were all with one accord in one what? In one place. We opened our doors and we were here in one place. And this is no condemnation to those who didn't come. You follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. But the Lord needed a gathering, I believe, that day. Because he's doing something here on the earth. And we opened our doors to our congregation and we were gathered together. Praise God. Do you see he is moving? He is moving. Give him praise right now. Hallelujah. And you know, that day, I expected, like, what's going to happen? Is there going to be a mighty rushing wind and an earthquake? It didn't happen, but here's what I felt the Lord was saying. I'm starting the pilot light, and I'm stirring hunger. I'm stirring hunger, amen? He is stirring hunger. Okay, didn't happen that day, but God's like, I am now preparing the scene for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And right about then is when we ladies began our series on what? The Holy Spirit. Don't tell me God is not up to something. Hallelujah. God is so good. So good. Verse 2. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So I just wanted to, let's get a couple visuals and really imagine what this is like. They're all in one accord. What does that mean? Were they all praying together? Were they all singing together? Well, probably, I would think. And then the presence of God had to be with them, just stronger and stronger. I just want us to hear what a mighty rushing wind sounds like. Let's hear what this sounds like. This is what they heard. Gives you goosebumps, right? Hallelujah. Awesome. Okay. Wonderful. If this ever happens with us, let's not be alarmed. This is biblical. This is what happened in the first place. You know, I was watching, I just want to interject here. I was watching a Christian program who is the director of Daystar? I cannot remember his name off the top of my head. He has a preaching. And he has a cassette recording of something so similar happening with the Eskimos in Alaska. They had a prayer meeting with the youth, some of the elders, and you can hear them. They're praying, and you hear the sound of a wind come in, and it's like the place is being shaken. And they had a great visitation of the Holy Spirit. And they interviewed this little village of Eskimos afterward, and they could hardly talk about it. They were getting so choked up. And so these things, I was just so impacted, like, wow, Lord, you're still visiting us. You're still visiting us. Amen. All right, let's put up that picture of tongues of fire. Let's get a visual here. Could have looked something like this. They're praying. They're feeling God's presence. There's a little flame of fire above each and every one of them. Wonderful. We're going to look in a couple of different translations of the Bible to just describe it a little bit different. Ladies, this is a Bible study technique. Look at different translations of the same verse. It'll give you a different perspective. It'll help it make a little more sense to you. Amen. Acts chapter 2, 2 through 4, and this is in the Passion. It says, suddenly they heard the sound of a violent blast of wind rushing into the house from out of the heavenly realm. The roar of the wind was so overpowering. It was all anyone could hear. Then all at once a pillar of fire appeared before their eyes. It separated into tongues of fire that engulfed each one of them. They were all filled and equipped with the Holy Spirit and were inspired to speak in tongues, empowered by the Spirit to speak in languages they had never learned. And that translation says there was a pillar of fire that separated. That pillar of fire is what guided the children of Israel in the desert. You remember, they knew God was with them because there was a huge pillar of fire guiding them and leading them. And how interesting to think that it divided and gave each one of us a light, a fire. And when we come back together, that pillar of fire is reunited in our midst. Amen? Beautiful. Let's look at just one more. This is Acts 2, 2 through 4, also in the voice. Okay? Let's look at this translation. Picture yourself among the disciples. Picture yourself. A sound roars from the sky without warning. The roar of a violent wind, and the whole house where you are gathered reverberates with sound. It's so loud, just like in heaven. Then a flame appears, dividing into smaller flames and spreading from one person to the next. All the people present are filled with the Holy Spirit and begin speaking in languages they've never spoken as the Spirit empowers them. Praise God. So 120 people began to speak languages they've never spoken before. Let's look at what they were speaking. So many different languages. Twice in Israel's history, they were dispersed to the nations as a punishment. In the year 722 BC by the Assyrians, and in 586 BC by the Babylonians, they were dispersed to the nations. So they learned all the languages. After all these hundreds of years, their children knew the languages of those nations, but they didn't forget their heritage, and they would come back to Jerusalem during those important festivals. Remember, Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. So they were there from Passover. They had been visiting from wherever they were scattered. They had a hunger to be close to God. They were there for Passover, and if they lived really far away, guess what they would do? Since Passover and Pentecost were only 50 days apart, couple months, they would just stay right there in Jerusalem. And maybe they had a summer house, and that was their yearly plan. They spend the winter where they live, and they just go hang out at Jerusalem for those couple of months. So they were there for the festival of Pentecost. Let's look at Acts chapter 2, verses 5 through 12. And this is from the Passion. So interesting. Now at that time, there were Jewish worshipers who had emigrated from many different lands to live in Jerusalem. Some translations say stay in Jerusalem. When the people of the city heard the roaring sound, crowds came running to see where it was coming from, stunned over what was happening because each one could hear the disciples speaking in his or her own language. Bewildered, they said to one another, "Aren't these Galileans? Aren't these rednecks?" It was so obvious, right? Could you spot a redneck like a mile away? Right? Like overalls with no shirt underneath? Right? we've heard the jokes, you know, the redneck jokes. They were obvious by the way they spoke. You know, it sounded like a banjo when they talked, I guess. Just kidding. It was obvious. These were not the most well-educated, and these were not wealthy people. Amen. So we're going to talk about that in just a second. So they were asking, how is it that we hear, verse 8, how is it that we hear them speaking in our own languages? We are northeastern Iranians, northwestern Iranians, Elamites, and those from Mesopotamia, Judea, east central Turkey, the coastal areas of the Black Sea, Asia, north central Turkey, southern Turkey, Egypt, and on, all these different countries of the known world of that time. Verse 11, yet we hear them speaking of God's mighty wonders in our own dialect. Anyone here speak another language other than English? Yeah, You walk by someone in a store and you're like, oh, I know exactly what they're saying. My husband and I are over our Spanish ministry. And so we've people come do some work at our house and they're talking about how much they should charge us. And I'm like, I can understand what you're saying. I did tell them. I felt bad. They hear, for sure, they hear their language. Verse 12, they all stood there, dumbfounded and astonished, saying to one another, what is this phenomenon? So we're going to talk about tongues in just a minute, but let me just put out there. 1 Corinthians 13, the chapter on love, starts out by saying, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels. So when you speak in tongues, you can speak in languages of other countries. It happens all the time. But you could also be speaking in tongues of angels, okay, in unknown tongues. And we're going to talk about that. It's so beautiful. We're going to talk about tongues in just a minute. I wanted to bring out the Galileans. We're not the cool people, all right? They were not the cool people. But that is who God chose. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 says, God chooses the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. And he chooses the weak things of the world to shame the strong. So we are all candidates, ladies, to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The fact that I am standing before you today and speaking with confidence is a miracle. This is a work of the Holy Spirit because I feel like I'm like the least qualified. But it is the power of the Holy Spirit that's causing me even to speak to you today. Listen, he's going to give you boldness. We're going to talk about that. I'm jumping ahead of myself. But I just want you to know anyone can be filled with the Holy Spirit and used to do supernatural works. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? He's a good God. He chose to use the weak and foolish things of that day. He chose to on purpose so that we would never be intimidated. I'm a candidate. I can do it. Amen. So what does the baptism of the Holy Spirit mean for us today? It's a couple thousand years later. And I just want to talk really briefly about some of the benefits of receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Number one, this is going to be quick. So if you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. Get out a pen. We're not going to put the verses up. But I want to just give you the citation. If you can just put it in your notes, in your phone or something. And look these up later. Number one, we are going to receive so much love. We are going to receive an overflowing sense of love when we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And this one I did want to read because it's just one of my favorite scriptures. Romans 5:5. Now hope does not disappoint. It means if you're hoping for something, you won't be let down. Here's why. Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. And when I first got filled with the Holy Spirit, I was super young. I was only like 5 max because I remember seeing some of my classmates. And I did not speak in tongues, but I had such an overwhelming sensation of the love of God at that young age. It was just like, I don't even know how to explain it, like getting high or something. Not that I've ever gotten high, but I just felt so much love, like God loved me. And I felt like I loved everyone in that place. And this is because the Holy Spirit, Romans 5:5, remember that one, ladies. Look it up later. When the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to fill you with such a sense of love. It repeats the same thing in Romans chapter 8. If you need love, let's say we've lived lives, and all of us have, where we did not receive enough love. The baptism of the Holy Spirit will fill you like nothing else. I needed that baptism of love. I was going through a really hard time as a child, sexual abuse for years, even after that. And the Lord was filling me with his Holy Spirit. And now I've been restored and healed. Praises to God. But it was a beautiful first experience. Praise God. The other thing that you will get when you are baptized with the Holy Spirit is boldness. That's in Acts chapter 4, verse 31. The other thing that you will get when you are baptized with the Holy Spirit is power to overcome sin. How many want that? Woo! I need it. Galatians 5:16. holiness, purity. And this is just a journey in our lives of growing, getting rid of those bad habits. You know, it can be a process. It can be sudden for some people and in some things, but there might be a process. And the Holy Spirit is such an amazing helper. The other thing you will get when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit is supernatural power. And we are going to be talking about that in just a minute. Can you write down Luke 24, 49, and this is the verse we read at the very beginning when Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes. And it's that word dunamis, the dynamite power of God. Amen. So we're going to talk about some of those power gifts over the next few weeks. And 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 8 through 11 tells us the Apostle Paul was so kind as to break up these power gifts, these expressions of the supernatural miracles of God, into nine categories. And these are called the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. How many have heard of the gifts of the Holy Spirit? We're going to be studying those, and not just studying, but stirring them up. The Bible says, stir up the gift that was put in you by the laying on of hands. We're going to stir those up, ladies. We need to go out into the highways and byways and be able to see the supernatural works of God. Anybody hungry for that? I am. Let's let the book of Acts continue to our day. Amen. Amen. So we're going to be talking about those and studying them. And if you were to describe this to your kids, you could say something like, when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, it's like you get superpowers. It's like you get superpowers. You will know things. You can, you know, there's all kinds of miracles listed in the Bible. There was bad water that was healed. There's gifts of miracles and gifts of healing. But it's not a power that you, like a superpower that you control. It's you yielding to the Holy Spirit and following His lead. So there's a little bit of a difference there. When we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, every time in the Word of God, the evidence was speaking in tongues. And that is one of those nine gifts. Holy Spirit comes, and the first thing that happens is speaking in tongues. I wonder why God chooses that to be one of the first gifts that we receive. Why is it so predominant? Well, let's get into the study of tongues, okay? So of the nine that we are going to be studying and stirring up in the weeks to come, this is the first one, tongues. So let's look at the purpose for speaking in tongues. Purpose for speaking in tongues. And like I shared, when I first got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I did not speak in tongues. It wasn't until I was about 12 and our church began to teach on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And they prayed for us and I received. And I just got one little word. It was like this word that just kept coming to mind, and they encouraged us, hey, just say it. Whatever it is, just begin to say it. And this is so similar, I think, to Pastor Jessica's testimony. She has shared something similar. So I would say this word and just, you know, practice and want to keep it stirred up. And right when I was about to get discouraged and say, I think I'm just making this up, I think this is nonsense, our leaders were encouraging us, come on, just keep it going. Let it be a flow. The devil wants you to think that you're crazy. The devil wants you to think you're making this up, because this is powerful. And keep it going. And so I did, and more came, and it became just an amazing flow. Amen. So the purpose for speaking in tongues, number one, to be edified or strengthened. To be edified or strengthened. We're strengthening ourselves. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 14:2. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. And no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. You're not going to understand what you're saying, but you are speaking mysteries directly to God. It's like a secret language. All the gifts of the Spirit, all nine of them, are for you to minister to others and help other people. Except for speaking in tongues, you are building yourself up. You are building yourself up. And occasionally, the Lord will cause you to speak in tongues and someone else can translate or interpret supernaturally. And then that would be for the help of someone else. but most of the time it's for our own edification. 1 Corinthians 14:4. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. So if you're ever feeling down and like you're just dragging, come on, get those tongues flowing. You are going to be, according to the word of God, edifying yourself, building yourself up. Listen, spiritual things do not make sense to our natural mind. The Bible makes that very clear. It says spiritual things are foolishness to the natural mind. So we have to receive this by faith and say, if I speak in tongues, I am building myself up. I am energizing my own self. Whether I feel it or not, I believe it. And it is absolutely true, absolutely true. You will feel it. You will be edified. Number two, another reason for speaking in tongues. Number two, prayer in the Spirit. Prayer in the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 14, verses 14 through 15. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. The Holy Spirit prays through us the perfect will of God, the perfect prayer. No wonder the devil wants to silence us, ladies, and make us think this is just a bunch of weirdness. No wonder. Let's press into this. We're speaking the perfect prayers to God. Let's keep reading Romans chapter 8, verse 26. So clear here. Likewise, the Holy Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. You may experience this. Sometimes it's tongues, sometimes it is groans. But he is praying to God for us, the perfect prayers. Praise God. Let's go on to point number three, a third reason why we should speak in tongues. Why is this so crucial? And it is to help us walk in love. Isn't that interesting? We speak in tongues, and it causes us to be a more loving person. Let's see where this connection happens in Jude, verses 20 through 22. It only has one chapter, so Jude 20 through 22 says, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keeping yourselves in the love of God." Keep yourselves in the love of God. King James says keeping. "Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." Anybody here need to be a little more loving? Yeah? Anyone here with young kids? Anyone here with adult kids? Oh, Lord, how we need to be more loving. So let's let those tongues roll, my sisters. Let's let the tongues absolutely roll and edify ourselves and pray mysteries and pray those perfect prayers and cause us to keep ourselves in love. Amen. One couple more things to remember. Let's just recap really quick, okay? The three reasons that we are going to, the Bible says, do not forbid tongues. We got to let them roll. We got to let them flow. In John chapter 7, Jesus calls the Holy Spirit just like a river that is flowing. So sometimes, you know, it'll get stuck like a pump. It's just stuck. And my husband was gifted my brother moved and gave him his espresso machine. And my husband was super excited. And the thing was broken. The thing was broken. So he called the company and he got just the rudest lady on the line, had her on speakerphone. And she was like, "It is no longer under warranty." You know, like we were like, "Oh, okay." And she just was like cutting him off and everything. But she did mention, "I think the pump is dry. just keep trying. So he hangs up and he's like, oh, man. I said, honey, try it. Try it. I think maybe she's right. He's trying. He's like, you know, it's nothing's happening. No steam coming out of that little thing. And he's like, man, that lady was just trying to get rid of me. I said, keep trying. This happened just 2 days ago. Finally, he put some hot water. And that thing started working. By the next morning, he had the most delicious cup of coffee with a little foam on top. Ladies, if you are not receiving tongues yet, keep on trying. I'm telling you, he had to try like 5 or 6 times. This was a visual for me of what we need to do. Just keep it flowing. And maybe just like me, and I'm pretty sure Pastor Jessica too, it was like one word, one little word. Just keep going and insisting. And listen, if you've had that flow of tongues before and it's getting a little rusty, well, summer 2020 is when we're going to get that rolling again. Amen, sisters? Yes? Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.